This evening, we are going to hear the Christmas story through the perspective of five people that lived a life of anticipation and expectation. We will then hear a short message from Marshall, followed by a time for worship. Again, we are so glad to have you with us, whether you're in person or with us online. And we are so excited to present our Living Hope.
Says, I have lived a life of hope. Hope in the words of the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, spoken to me. Hope in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all people. Hope that even in the destruction of the nation comes new birth. Hope for the one that will remind us the worth of the meek, the brokenhearted. Through God's goodness, I have learned of our Savior. A living hope to the nations. Here is what to look for. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
dark and cheerless is more till your love in me is born. Joyless is the evening sun till he
to carry, to nurture, and to love. Hope to create a family of God and have His grace fall upon us. Hope for a life filled with young joy and delight. Hope through it all, despite it all. My age, my doubts, my fearfulness. Through God's goodness, I am now with child. And as wild as the whole thing feels to me, I found a new reason to hope. My relative Mary came to visit, and her familiar voice reached my ears. That sound, her voice now near, brought with it new anticipation. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and my baby leapt within my womb. I could not help but shout out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. Blessed is the hope you carry within you."
Come thou long awaited one, in the fullness of your love, loses heart bound up by shame, and I will never be the same. So here
devoted to keeping them safe under my watch. I have lived a life of hope. Hope that I can't quite put a finger on, but I know there must be more than this. Hope that despite my lowly job, I will not miss the big things God is doing. Hope in the stories I heard growing up, that one day a Savior would be born for us. Hope that that as insignificant as my life may be, that somehow, some way, God would have something more in store for me. Through God's goodness, I have met the child. Hope no longer an intangible thing, but now living and breathing in front of me. My life forever changed on what appeared to be a normal night. For as we were watching over our flock, there suddenly came a glow as bright as the noonday sun. An angel had come to say, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger."
Called me righteous and devout, but I'm just trying to live out my faith in the city of Jerusalem. I have lived a life of hope. Hope in the words of the Holy Spirit spoken to me. Hope in the promise that I will not die before I get to see the Lord's Messiah. Hope in the consolation Israel, hope and rescue the whole nation. Through God's goodness, I see the child. I see the awaited one come to reconcile the world to God and all creation. I praise God with the child in my arms, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people, Israel."
Behold, your gift to us, Savior. broken silent. Come, let us adore. The Savior is with us. Angels, let your song.
Prophetess of the Lord, worshiping, praying, and fasting day and night, always looking for His insight within the temple walls. I have lived a life of hope. Hope that lived on even after the death of my husband. Hope I could believe in at 84 years of age. Hope, even though I have seen the ends and beginnings of many things. Hope that the Holy Spirit is forever a friend, close and dear to me. Through God's goodness, I am meeting the Messiah. I can no longer stay quiet, for everyone should know that hope is here. So gather all who are looking forward to redemption. We are no longer kept back by our transgressions, because God has come to us. All who wait, who mourn, who hurt, stay fast in hope, for hope is born.
This year, I want to invite you to engage with the Christmas story in a new way. See, this year we find ourselves at war with an unseen enemy, which brings death. But when Jesus came into the world, he came into a world at war with a spiritual pandemic. It was a time at the height of an empire filled with politics and power games and intrigue. Zealots, would-be messiahs, incited people to violence and led feudal revolts. And the religious leaders had gone in two different directions. So the Sadducees had decided to pursue political power to preserve their way of life. The Pharisees, on the other hand, put requirements on people, and then more requirements. They burdened the people with empty rituals and guilt and shame. Does any of that sound familiar? Does that sound a little bit too close to our home. I think our present circumstances are a reminder of our humanity, our vulnerability, and our need. And I wonder if that helps us to better relate to the world Jesus came into. Can you imagine growing up listening to the prophecies of a Savior? And then can you feel the doubt when you learn those prophecies are 400 years old? Has God forgotten his people? Is he still angry that we rebelled? And why should he care about some second-class citizens living in the sticks of a cruel empire? I love the words of that familiar carol. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till here it peered, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. As we read Sunday, the angels announced to the shepherds, peace on earth. The war is over. God is not coming to judge you, but to love you. And a full pardon is available to anyone who wants to be in his kingdom. And God wants to give you a hope and a future. Romans 5:1 puts it this way. Therefore, since we've been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us. There's a famous story told by missionaries who were missionaries to the Sawi tribe. And so it really surprised the missionaries when they told the gospel story, and they thought that Judas Iscariot was a hero because he betrayed Jesus. Oh, that guy's really clever. He didn't see it coming. Needless to say, this is really, really surprising. It led to endless wars between these two tribes that are always betraying each other. And the missionaries grew frustrated by trying to convince them to stop fighting, and they announced they'd leave. But the Sawi leader promised that they'd make peace. He said, please don't go. And the missionaries were very skeptical. After all, they were known for their betrayal. They were known for backstabbing. How could they be trusted? But the leader took his infant son, and he headed to the leader of the other village. And in tears, he gave his baby to them. And they pledged peace between those villages. And the missionaries were shocked. They didn't understand what they saw. But the Sawi explained to the missionaries that child would be protected, but that there could be no peace without a peace child. And as long as that child lives, they would not attack each other. God's peace isn't just a cessation of hostilities. It's not a cold war where we both agree to stay on our side of the wall. He's crossed over to our side like the peace child of the Sawi tribe. He's not impatiently tapping his foot in heaven, waiting for us to get our act together. He's not judging us with unrealistic expectations. No, he's joined us in the mess. He's suffered with us. And I just can't get over this line of a worship song that we sing. It says, you didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. He didn't have to, but he loves us so much that he would do whatever it takes to break through anything that would separate us from him. So the message of Christmas is peace on earth. God has forgiven your past, but it's also heaven on earth. God is with us in the present. Now, God with us can be a scary thing. As the creator of the world, he's the ultimate judge. He's holy and just. And usually when we think of justice, we think of punishment. But I think God thinks of justice as making things right, fixing the brokenness in our world, correcting oppression. And he has a plan to do just that. Jesus describes his plan. Jesus describes his purpose in coming in Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set up the Lord's favor. The more we partner with the ongoing mission of Jesus, the more we will experience the transforming, healing power of God. He's at work in the middle of our suffering, in the middle of our mess. Do you look for God above us, or do you look for him among us? Because he's here, inviting us to be part of the kingdom of heaven on earth, where we can be a living demonstration of what it means to bring his peace and his love. But he hasn't left us here to figure it out on his own. He's left us with his words and with the Holy Spirit. And he's at work within us to develop the endurance and character that was described in the Romans 5 passage we read. As the old song says, surely he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Peace. This is a time of national anger and frustration. Political arguments divide families and communities, and people threaten violence against each other. So what can you do as a citizen of heaven to be an agent of God's peace? God has forgiven us of everything. Can we have grace for the people that we disagree with? Can we look for ways to lower the temperature, to be curious and empathetic? Can we put Jesus' agenda before any political agenda? Can we do what Jesus did and bring good news to the poor and proclaim release to the captives? The message of Christmas is peace on earth. God has forgiven your past. It's also heaven on earth. God is with us in the present, and it's new birth into a living hope. God has reserved a home for us in eternity. Just like Easter couldn't happen without Christmas, Christmas would be meaningless without Easter. When Jesus stepped out of the tomb, he was demonstrating that suffering has an expiration date. The difficulties that we're experiencing are temporary. Even death is not the end. And the resurrection also points to a new perspective on life, that this world is not our home. All the power and all the money in the world won't mean anything in heaven. It won't matter who's in office or who won the Super Bowl. It won't matter if you have the nicest car or the biggest house. Our hope is in something much greater. Compared to eternity, this life is blink and you miss it. Listen to the words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, into an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And this brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. This Christmas we can have joy, even through the difficulties and the trials, because God has forgiven our past. He is with us in the present, and he has reserved a home for us in eternity. So let's worship, and let's give thanks for our living hope.